Hi, I'm John Mayfield, the Real Estate Tech Guy, with another Global Real Estate School podcast. Hey, John Mayfield, the Real Estate Tech Guy, and thank you so much for joining me on another podcast for Global Real Estate School. We are talking about real property and personal property, or fixtures, and you know what determines what is real property versus what is a fixture. And this is a section you need to know for the real estate exam, the legal distinctions between real property and personal property and their implications for ownership and transfer of title. So that's what we're talking about. We've already gone over a few items, and I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast channel and also go back and listen to our first couple of episodes regarding this entire section, because there are several questions you will see on the real estate exam. Well, we understand that real property is stationary, right? It's not movable. Personal property, on the other hand, is movable. If you can move it, it is considered personal property. So just think about, as a real estate agent, when you go out to list a piece of property and you're looking around the home and you see the couch and the table and chairs in the dining room, the bedroom, naturally, what are your thoughts? Well, your thoughts are the owners are going to probably take the furniture with them, correct? And that's right. That's considered personal property. Now, sometimes personal property can be transferred with the sale of real estate. And we've learned through our podcast, we do that through what is called a bill of sale, a bill of sale. You need to also understand personal property can be referred to as chattel, C-H-A-T-T-L-E. And believe it or not, there are different types of chattel, which we will talk about that in just a moment. But personal property can also be referenced as personalty. That's right, personalty, another word you could see. That's why sometimes the exam is so challenging. You really need to know the definitions, and you need to know how to apply them to the question, because that's where it can be very, very difficult for students is, you know, how do I make the distinction between the definition and applying it to the question that they are asking me? And so, for example, you could see the word personalty or chattel mixed in with the question, and you automatically know, because you are listening to the Global Real Estate School podcast, that that's personal property. Now, when I said chattel can come in a couple of various forms, what I want you to understand is sometimes we call personal property tangible personal property. At the beginning of the podcast, I ask you to visualize going in, listing a home, looking at the couch, looking at some of the items. And when you look at those items, such as the bedroom furniture, the dining room table and chairs, the couch, the TV that is sitting on the, credenza or desk or whatever, that's considered tangible personal property. Tangible personal property. They're physical objects that can be moved. And the key word there is physical. You can have personal property in an intangible form as well. So we have tangible, physical property. Well, if it's intangible, it would have to be non-physical property. So you're probably saying, well, John, what in the world would intangible personal property be? Well, that could be a lease, and that's the way they can integrate these terms and terminology into your questions and ask you all of the following would, which of the following would be considered personal property? And they throw some very interesting, challenging words in there that could be fixtures because they are so attached to the property. But then they throw the word a lease in there. Well, a lease is considered personal property. It's a intangible form of what we call personal property or intangible chattel, okay? Other intangible personal property items might be stocks and bonds, intellectual property, licenses and permits, bank accounts, financial instruments, insurance policies. All of those are called intangible chattels or intangible personal property. And so it wouldn't go with the property, would it? We're just dealing with, in real estate terms, those items that we would call fixtures that would go with the personal property. Tangible personal property or tangible chattels would be furniture, home decor, electronics, clothing, tools, collectibles, arts, vehicles, books. You know, I could go on and on. But those are all considered personal property. They are movable and they are physical. And so we put them in the tangible chattels or tangible personal property area. So for the exam, just remember, real property is anything that's not movable, okay? Personal property is movable. If something's been so affixed to the real property, in other words, it was at one time personal property, but it's been attached and fixed in such a way that it's now a part of the real property, then we call that a fixture, which could be blinds or curtain rods or those other items that we talked about where we use the acronym MAID or Maria, where the court might look at trying to determine if there was a dispute, how was it attached, the method of attachment. I'm using the acronym MAID, okay? So M stands for method of attachment. The court will want to know how was it attached to the property. They will also look at the adaptation of the article. Remember my gazebo next to the koi pond in my yard. It's sitting on concrete blocks. It's easily movable if I were to sell the home and want to take the gazebo with me, which probably would cost me $10,000 or $12,000 today to have something like that built. It's a fairly large gazebo, but it's on concrete blocks. It's not attached to anything. But the court would look at the adaptation of the article. It adapts to that koi pond in such a way, just like a water fountain in front of a big home, that probably, in all likelihood, the courts would say, hey, that is considered a fixture or real property. So method of attachment, adaptation of the article, the intention of the parties they would look at, and did an agreement exist? So you always want to make sure you cover that information when you're closing a transaction, because the last thing you want to do, and I've had to suffer the consequences in my life, is replace something that the buyers thought was staying and it wasn't staying because it was personal property, okay? I remember one time my wife and I bought a little rental house, and the laundry room, it was a smaller, older home, but the laundry room had the nicest little cabinet, stationary cabinet. My wife and I even commented, that'll be so nice for our renters. They can store their laundry detergent there, fold clothes. You know, it's really a nice little cabinet. Well, we closed on the transaction. We went over to look at the property after we closed, and the cabinet in the laundry room was missing. And I called the other agent, and she said, oh, no, that wasn't attached to the wall. That was not staying. That was movable. Now, that cabinet actually matched the kitchen cabinets, and if I wanted to have taken the elderly lady to court and say, look, Judge, that cabinet, even though it was not attached, the way it adapted and, you know, the intention I thought was that that stayed because it matched the other cabinet in the kitchen, I might have had a pretty good case. However, the court could have said, well, John, did you have anything on the contract about it? No. Now, did I sue the lady? Absolutely not, because small rural community, I own my own real estate office, and what's the point of trying to have a bad reputation? But you can see the importance of checking and double-checking your items on the contract, because the court will look at those contracts and want to know if an agreement existed. So method of attachment, adaptation of the article, intention of the parties, and did an agreement exist? So I think you really, if you listen to these three podcasts, I think you should not miss anything they throw at you regarding real property versus personal property. Now, on tomorrow's podcast, I want to really kind of dive in a little bit deeper on the types of ownership and ownership rights and why all of the information we just studied is so important, okay? Hey, if you need digital flashcards, we've got those over at globalrealestateschool.com. You can sign up for real estate classes there. I have coaching there. I have my real estate exam coach to help you pass the real estate exam. globalrealestateschool.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Check us out on YouTube. I'm going to be doing a YouTube a little bit later today. And as always, reach out to me if you have any questions. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the podcast for Global Real Estate School. I'm John Mayfield, the real estate tech guy. Go out and make it a great day.